Beloved of God, who are called to be saints, grace and peace be with you all. Let us pray. Stir up the wills of all who look to you, Lord God, and strengthen our faith in your coming, that transformed by grace we may walk in your way. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
A reading from Isaiah. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Let's pray Psalm 146 responsively. Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God.
Who made heaven and earth, who sees all that is in them, who keeps promises forever.
Who gives justice to those who are oppressed, and food to those who hunger. The Lord sets the captives free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord cares for the stranger. The Lord sustains the orphan and the widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked.
The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, throughout all generations. Hallelujah. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from James. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Word of God, word of life.
Eternal one, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When John heard in prison that what the Messiah was doing, he sent word to his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. You will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord. I don't know if this is a true story or not, but it could be true. A woman goes into the card shop looking for the exact right birthday card for her husband. And she finds a promising card, and on the outside of the card, it says, "Sweetheart, you are the answer to my prayers." So she takes the card and opens it up, and it says, "You're not exactly what I prayed for, but apparently you're the answer." Something like that was going through John's head as he was sitting in prison. He and his people had for generation and generation prayed and hoped, watched and waited for years and years for the Messiah to come. Watched and waited for that anointed of God to lead the nation and to vanquish the occupying forces. They had hoped and prayed for a Messiah to establish a great kingdom and to usher in a time of peace and prosperity. In fact, John thought that such a time was very near at hand. Their hopes and prayers had been answered. Their watching and waiting was over. Jesus, his very cousin, the Messiah, the anointed of God, had finally arrived. The things that the one that they had prepared for was here. And now things were really going to change. Jesus was going to set things right and shake things up. And now John is sitting in prison. He had plenty of time to think. Actually, to doubt. He remembers with such high hopes that day when he baptized Jesus and told his followers, "There is the Lamb of God. There is the Messiah. Things are really going to change now." He had prepared the way. He called people to repent. He told them that although he was baptizing with water, when Jesus starts baptizing, he's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. He's got an axe in his hand, and he's going to chop down every tree that's not bearing good fruit. Things are going to change. Heads are going to spin. Jesus is going to change the way that this nation has lived. But Jesus wasn't making any call to arms. John, sitting there in prison, is getting reports every day when his disciples, his friends, bring him his food and care for him. They tell him what Jesus is doing. Doesn't have anything to do with an axe chopping down trees. Doesn't have anything to do with vanquishing the oppressed. No talk of revolution. Jesus is hanging out with the very people that he should have been chopping down. He was eating with tax collectors. He was letting prostitutes wash his feet. And he was constantly speaking words of forgiveness to sinners. That was definitely not the Messiah that John had been hoping for and had been praying for. Where was that winnowing stick that was separating the wheat from the chaff? This wasn't the Messiah that was expected. In the reading in Matthew's gospel today, Jesus says, "Blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." Why would anyone be offended by Jesus? That's such an odd beatitude. We think it's odd. And here's John, quite offended at Jesus. And I think that we are offended by Jesus too, because he doesn't do just what we expect. In fact, he ends up on a cross with his arms outstretched, forgiving the very people who hung him on the cross, offering paradise to sinners. What happened to that sweet little baby in the manger? This doesn't sound like a very Christmassy story, does it? It doesn't sound like a victorious Messiah. You know, Jesus must have been given a different script. This isn't the Messiah that the nation had waited for. This isn't the Messiah that we expect. He isn't acting at all the way John prophesied. And because of that, John asks, his disciples ask, and we ask as well, are you the one who is to come? Or are we to wait for another? We all have expectations about the kind of Messiah we want. Some of us do want that axe-wielding, chaff-burning Messiah that shouts out fire and brimstone, someone who will scare the heaven right into us. Some of us want a Messiah who will champion our favorite causes. Some of us want a Messiah who's a good shepherd, who will just keep us safe. Never demand anything from us. Just constantly assure us that we're loved. We want to see a Messiah who will always remain that sweet baby in the manger. But sooner or later, our ideas of Jesus get turned upside down. And we ask the question, are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? The real Jesus comes and breaks out of whatever little box we might have been trying to put Jesus into. Our own personal expectations are turned upside down. And like John the Baptist is told, we are invited to watch what Jesus is doing in the Bible and in the world today. We are invited to follow a living Christ, the true Messiah, and broaden our ideas and our expectations about who Jesus is and what is God up to in the world today. Did you hear about that virus that took over Point Loma Nazarene University? Did you get sick, Vic? Over 200 students last week got this norovirus that they're calling the cruise ship virus. There was a preschool in Mission Valley that was closed last week because this virus just went through the school. All the kids were sick and all the staff. I hope you're all well. Are y'all well? Use that hand sanitizer. I'm going to use that virus as an illustration for the Advent season. It's time for us to wake up and catch the Jesus virus. How do you catch a virus? You expose yourself to others who already have that virus. So search out opportunities to listen and to talk with others about the real meaning of Christmas. Hang out with people who already have a meaningful relationship with Jesus. And sooner or later, you'll find yourself infected and inflamed with the Jesus virus. And you'll be a carrier. You'll spread this infection to others. Jesus spread the virus, and he told John and his disciples to watch and then to do the same. Blind received their sight. Lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. Dead are raised. And the poor have the good news brought to them. There's nothing quiet or serene about that vision. That's an active, action-packed vision. It's not fire and brimstone, but it's the upside-down kingdom of Jesus Christ. And we are invited to be a part of that kingdom. Jesus is bringing that life right now. Sometimes we spend the Christmas time like it's a history lesson. We try to remember what we did last year and all the years before that. We want our traditions of Christmas to look like the past. And all that's fine and good, but we might miss the most important question of the season. Do you experience God being born in your life right now? Not just in the past, a couple thousand years ago, or remembering what your Christmas looked like when you were a child, or this, what it looked like last December. But what is God doing in your life right now? How are you experiencing the birth of God in your life? Jesus tells us what he told John. I didn't come to fulfill your expectations. I came to bring life. A number of years ago, Jennifer Smart preached on this Sunday, and she preached pregnant and asked the question, do you feel life in you? What a great Advent question. Do you feel life in you? God's life. Are you pregnant with that life? Jesus is always being born, and because of that, people are always being transformed, people like you and me. Jesus says to his disciples, look around. What do you see? Is the blind part of you able to see? Are the lame aspects of your life able to walk or even dance? Is that part of you that has been dead? Is there life there now? Is this the Jesus who is to come? That's how John's disciples knew that Jesus was the one. And this is how we know it too. Advent is a time for stirring up that divine life that's in us and in our world and looking for it. We can kind of get blind to God's work in the world if we don't look for it. Advent is an infectious time to come and know the real Jesus. At Passover time, the Jews who celebrate the Seder have a tradition of setting an extra place at the table for the prophet Elijah. And then during the service, during the time of the meal, the door is opened to welcome Elijah, that prophet whom Jesus compared John to. Elijah was the prophet who would announce the coming of the Messiah. And Jesus says, that's John. John is the prophet announcing the Messiah. There's a story, this great old Hasidic story, that a man comes to, a very pious man comes to the rabbi, and he says, for 40 years, I have been celebrating the Seder, the Passover meal. I have been setting a place for Elijah, opening the door to welcome him in for 40 years. And I've never seen Elijah. What's the reason for this? And the rabbi said, this is what you do. There is a very poor family that lives in your neighborhood. I want you to go to that family, go to that man, and tell him that you are going to, that you want to celebrate the Passover with him this year, and that you will provide everything. For the 8 days of Passover, you will bring all of the food, the wine, the table, the candles, everything. And then on that night of Passover, that night of the Seder service, you will see Elijah. So the man goes and does exactly what the rabbi has said. A couple weeks later, he comes back. He says to the rabbi, didn't work. I didn't see Elijah. And the rabbi said, I can assure you that Elijah came to your neighbor's house on Seder night. And he picked up a mirror and he held it in front of the man and said, this was the face of Elijah that night in your neighbor's house. I think that's a good story. John asks the question, and we ask with John, Jesus, are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for someone else? And Jesus asks us a question. What's God up to in the world? What do you see happening? Are you the face of the Messiah or your neighbor? Are you infected with that virus of God's love that you're spreading it around? And we pray, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.